All right, well, it is Mother's Day, and so today we're going to consider the commandment to honor your father and mother. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And of course, we could also find this command in the book of Leviticus. We could find it in the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, though. But we're actually going to be looking at quite a few verses this morning. Now, you don't have to turn to each one when I mention them. I'll be reading them for you. But do turn to Exodus 20. Exodus 20 is where we find the Ten Commandments, or what's also known as the Ten Words. This is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to read verse 2 and then verse 12. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that Yahweh your God is giving you. Let's pray. Our Father, it's been a joy to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this morning. We pray, just as we've come to you to praise you, just as you've gathered us to be cleansed, we ask that you would now teach us through your word and by your Holy Spirit within. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, this morning as we consider a commandment, honor your father and your mother, we're considering a rule in the Bible, right? We're considering a rule. And so we need to take a step back as we begin just to think about Christianity and rules. Let's take a big picture perspective, because some people think Christianity is nothing but rules. They think that Christianity is just about morality and ethics. This is what's right. This is what's wrong. Do this. Don't do that. They might think that that's all that the Bible is about. Others, though, will say, nope, it's not about rules. It's about what? Relationship. It's not about rules. You know, those old fogies, they got it all wrong. You know, they always think it's about the rule. Christianity is not about rules, it's about relationship. The fact is, it's actually about both. Christianity is about relationship and rules. Although, it's important to say this, primarily and fundamentally, it's about relationship. And the rules are there to foster and further and deepen and enrich the relationships. And that's a really important principle to have in mind as we engage with Scripture. You can see this actually right there in Exodus chapter 20. In fact, if you look back in Exodus chapter 19, you can see it as well. You see that God brings the people of Israel. In fact, he'd already brought the people of Israel into relationship with himself when long ago he called that moon worshiper Abraham to a new path in life, right? Back in Genesis chapter 12. But here are Abraham's offspring enslaved in Egypt, and God brings them to himself. Listen to Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 and 4 and 5. He says to Moses, to tell Israel, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is relation. This is about relation. I'm bringing you near to me. Now, therefore, now that we have this special near relation, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession amongst all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And in Exodus 20, God says it in different words. The same thing in different words. So in verse 2 he says, I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God doesn't begin with a rule. He begins with a relation. And notice this. The relationship is initiated by him as a gracious gift. He doesn't say, hey, you guys, I noticed how awesome you are. And so since you are so good to me, I've decided to finally come to you. No, he sees the people. They are weak. They are oppressed. They have nothing. But God moves towards them in mercy and kindness and grace, and then calls them to respond to his grace in this relationship by doing his will, by carrying out his instructions. Yes, even rules. But the rules are there to foster and further and deepen and enrich the relationship. You can see this as we move further in what you might call salvation history, further in redemptive history, as God sends his Son to save us, not who were enslaved to Egyptians, but who were enslaved to our rebellion against God. And he sends his Son, as we've already mentioned, to become man, to take upon himself a full human nature and live the life we could not live and die the death we deserve to die and rise from the dead to give new life. And to send his Spirit into the world to raise the spiritually dead, the spiritually blind to give sight, the spiritually deaf to give hearing, so that we might trust in this Jesus, that he has in fact done these things for us. And what does Romans chapter 5, verse 1 say about those who so trust in Jesus? He says, therefore, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, since we have been justified, that is, made righteous in God's sight, so that at judgment day, when God brings us into his great courtroom, he will say, righteous, perfect, for we have gained the righteousness of Jesus to our account through faith in him. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have this wonderful relation with God, a relationship of peace with God. Within that relationship that God initiated, that God gave to us in his mercy, then, later in Romans, Paul outlines how we are to live. And yes, there are rules. Listen to how Paul puts it at the beginning of Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In light of God's mercy, in light of this relationship of peace that he has established for us, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then he goes on to outline all kinds of rules, all kinds of instructions. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. God bless you. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve all kinds of rules. But do you see, the rules only come within the context of relationship. And they further and they deepen and they enrich the relationship in a profound way. I'm going to get to that in a second, but I want to ask you this question. What relationship is primarily fostered by obedience? I mean, I just read a bunch of rules that mention one another. We're going to be talking a lot about honoring our mothers, honoring our fathers. So, but what relationship is primarily furthered and enriched through obedience? The answer is relationship between us and God. Even when it's carrying out a command like honor your mom, it actually is enriching and furthering your relationship with God when you do that as one of God's people. Because all of these commandments are first and foremost a response to Him. I delivered you from your enslavement to sin, and so now, therefore, keep my commandments. They're His commands. And when we keep them, we're primarily relating first to Him. And it enriches our relation with Him primarily. So you hear Jesus talk about this in John chapter 14. Let me read for you from John chapter 14, verse 21. And this is a verse worth memorizing. Now, I say worth memorizing. The whole Bible's worth memorizing. But the majority of you will not memorize the whole Bible. So there are some verses I would recommend memorizing first before you get around to Esther chapter 4, verse 7 or something like that. This is one of them. John chapter 14, verse 21. I would recommend memorizing this week. Jesus taught us, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. Before I read the last part of this, I want you to hear this. We are brought into relationship with God by His grace. He makes the first move. And then in that relationship, we keep His commandments. That's us responding to Him in love, because we're supposed to keep them out of love for Him. And then what does He do? He responds back to us with love. And we respond back to Him with love. And love and love and love. This is the way a relationship works. It's dynamic. There's movement back and forth. And listen to what happens as we do this. Listen, y'all. Listen. And I will love him, says Jesus, and manifest myself to him. As we live out the instructions of God within this relationship, even the instruction to love our mommies, Jesus honors that by giving a fuller manifestation of himself to you in your heart. It's not just this dry rule keeping. It's always a deepening and an enriching of relationship as we walk in the commandments, in the words of our Savior. He will give a fuller manifestation of himself to us. So this is where Christian honoring of mothers is different than all of the world. People all over the world, cultures all over the world know they're supposed to honor their mothers, right? We could go out here on the street, ask somebody, microphone, do you think we should honor our moms? They'll be like, yep. Who's going to say no? Very rarely will you hear that. But there's a difference between how the rest of the world thinks about honoring their mom and the way that we think about it. And this is one of the key ways. Because when we do it, we're doing it with a God-motivated desire to honor God for all that He has done for us by honoring our moms. It's got this Godward relation when we honor our moms. It even has an eye towards God and the reward of knowing Him more deeply as we honor our moms. We're not honoring our moms just so that we can know God more deeply, as if we don't care about her. No, that wouldn't be honoring our moms. We love our moms. We seek to honor them because we love them and for who they are to us. But even then, we have an eye towards the living God who will manifest himself more fully to us in our souls as we honor our mom. This is where Christian honor for mothers is different. It's about knowing God, glorifying God, communing with God even, as we love and honor our parents. So now, let's consider God's good commandment to bring honor to our moms. Now you'll notice, back in Exodus 20, it says, honor your father and your mother, because you can't really separate these things out. You can't really be like, just honor your mom, don't honor your dad. Because you know what? For all of us, every single one of us has a mom, right? I think so. Had happened. But every single one of us has a dad, too. You can't have one without the other. Okay, so we got to talk about both for a second. You can't separate the mom and the dad. And what I want to talk about here for just a minute is there's an assumption here. God made marriage to be between one man and one woman forever. A monogamous relationship, a monogamous heterosexual relationship, one man, one woman, that's the only relationship that can make that magic happen and produce babies. Children are a part, and they are to be a part of the picture. Now, in the case of me and my wife, we couldn't actually have babies biologically. And this is a result of the fall. You know, we don't function the way we were intended to. And we're going to talk, I'm going to talk about adoption in a moment, which God blessed us with the ability to do. But children are ideally supposed to be a part of the picture. You got one man, one woman, they get married, bada boom, bada bing, lots of love, and babies come along. Sorry, I'm half Italian-American, so I got to throw in bada boom, bada bing sometimes. It's just the rule. This is the rule. The family is of great importance to human society. That's one thing you need to see here. The family is of great... God gives four commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You know, don't take my name in vain. Don't make idols. Keep the Sabbath. Come worship me one day in seven. And then the very next commandment, honor your mother and father. The family is so important to human society. Note that the very next commandment is actually about not committing adultery. The family is so important to human society. The family, therefore, has a huge impact. The health of the family has a huge impact on the health of the society that we call the church. Our health as a church body and our health globally as an international body of Jesus Christ amongst all the peoples of the earth, our health is deeply impacted by the health of the Christian family. And you'll remember Jesus' words. You, church, are the light of the world. You, church, are the salt of the earth. The family plays a significant role in the health of the church, and the church plays a significant role when it's functioning the way it should in the life of the world. We are, Jesus taught us, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And that's because of His grace. There's nothing to be prideful about here. It's a privilege and it's a responsibility. But as we live that out, as the family functions the way it's supposed to, as mothers and fathers stick together through the hard times, and I realize it doesn't always work out that way, but as they stick it through in the hard times, as children honor their parents, the church functions in a more healthy way, and the church can be a greater blessing to the society in which it lives. So moms and dads, the work is hard of being to be moms and dads. The work is hard at times. It is very rewarding. Rewarding beyond words, but it's also very hard. And I want you to hear today that the result of your work on this church and on the larger church and on the society around us, you are probably mostly unaware of, but it's real. Future parents, your work will be hard, but it will be worth it. And it will affect positively the church, and it will affect the society at large. And children, your honoring of your parents, your honoring of your parents is having a much bigger effect on this church and on the world around you than you probably realize. You might think, what does it matter if I honor my parents? What am I really going to accomplish in honoring my parents? You're doing something far more than you realize, for the benefit of this church and for the benefit of the world around you. Now let's get around to honoring our moms in particular. Now this is something that's kind of interesting. There's kind of an implicit command here. The command is to the child, honor your father and your mother, right? But implicitly, the command is that the mom is to be honorable. Throughout all the commandments, all of these commandments are about honoring God. Why are we to honor God? Because He is worthy of honor. The same way, we are to honor our moms because our moms are worthy of honor. That does not mean that our moms are perfect. Our moms are not worthy of honor only when they're perfect, because otherwise they would never be worthy of honor, nor would our fathers, and nor would you or me. Because nobody's perfect. Nobody. Until Jesus returns, we'll always struggle, and your mom is going to struggle, your dad's going to struggle, the kids are going to struggle. Everybody's not perfect. So it's not what the command is saying. It's not only honor your mom when she's perfect. Honor your imperfect mom for the honorable things and way, the things that she's done and the person that she is. So let's talk about the things that the scriptures hold out as honorable that moms do. The first thing that moms do that's honorable. You ready? They give birth to us. Say, okay, come on. That's not a big deal. She had to do that. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. She thought about you every day. You were in her tummy. You know what I mean? She was taking care of you inside of her body for 9 months. And then she gave birth. And I don't know if y'all know this. I certainly don't know it from the inside as a guy. But that is, apparently, I've heard, a difficult work. And mommy did that for us. And I'm going to talk about something that's a little bit hard to say, but she didn't have to choose to give birth. In our day and age, and really even in the time of the scriptures, people chose to abort their children one way or the other. And your mom didn't. And that's why you're here. And she's worthy of honor for that. She is worthy of honor for that. Now, I know there are situations in this complicated world where sometimes it's the life of the mom or the life of the kid, and mom's got to make a decision, and I'm not going to stand in judgment on you. But abortion's wrong. And when moms give birth to their kids, they're worthy of honor. And this is something that only biological moms, we can only honor our biological moms for that, right? But we still need to remember there are other moms besides biological moms. There are adoptive moms. And these moms, along with biological moms, are worthy of honor for physically nurturing us. For physically nurturing us. For making sure that we brush our teeth and put our pants on the right way and, you know, feed us. And all the things that moms do to physically nurture us. Moms are worthy of honor because this is hard work. And again, this is for both biological moms and adoptive moms. Adoptive moms are held up. Even non-Christian adoptive moms are held up for honor in the scriptures. Let me read for you from Acts, the book of Acts, as I think it's Stephen's speech. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, as we are related a short story about an adoptive mom. It says, at this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. She took care of Moses. When mothers nurture their children, they are worthy of honor. She drew him up from the water. She made sure he had enough food and drink and clothing and all these things. And we're going to get to education in a minute. But mothers are worthy of honor for nurturing us. Mothers are worthy of honor for their own faithfulness in glorifying and enjoying God. Their own faithfulness in following Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus said when some approached him. While Jesus was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and my mother." Jesus honors the trust and obedience of living in right relation with God. And so naturally then, our mothers are worthy of being honored for their trusting the Word of God and obeying the Word of God in their own lives. And we should let them know that. And they're also worthy for teaching us the way of Christ. And this now brings in a third kind of mom. We've got the biological, we've got the adoptive, but we've also got the spiritual mom. And you might be a spiritual mom, even if you're 15 years old, helping out in the Sunday school classroom, teaching the little ones, passing on what you've learned of the way of Christ, teaching others how to read Scripture, how to pray, how to have faith, how to resist temptation, how to seek purity of heart, how to evangelize, how to withstand persecution, how to surrender yourself to the will of God. What is this great good news of the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ? As you pass these things along, whether you're a biological or an adoptive or a spiritual mom, you are worthy of honor. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says that's what parents are supposed to be doing. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." And of course, that teaching can go, oh, so wrong. Man, hear about this terrible mom. John had a vision on the island of Patmos, God giving this prophet visions. And John talks about an angel, "And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names. And it had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written the name of mystery," right there on her forehead, "Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of the earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the earth's abominations. Now I know this is a symbolic mom. She stands for the world system set in rebellion against God and His people. But she's still counted, right? The mother of. Why? Because there's a connection between what the mother teaches and what the children become. It's not completely lockstep. Sometimes moms and dads, they do everything they can to pass along the right way, and the child still goes the way, the wrong way. But there is a link, you see? Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes. What you are teaching your children will typically lead to their lifestyle. What you model, what you teach. And insofar as you are, as imperfect as we all are, teaching and passing on the way of Jesus to your kids, you stand, mother of the righteous, beautiful, holy, good, whose children are a blessing and are light and salt in the earth. This is what's held out to you. And our mothers are to be honored for passing these things along. And yet, did you notice what it said about Moses' adoptive mom? Was she perfect? She wasn't a Christian. She wasn't Jewish. She wasn't passing on the Ten Commandments of the Lord, of Yahweh, to her kid. And yet she was honored. Pharaoh's daughter adopted him, brought him up as her own son, and Moses was instructed in the wisdom of the Egyptians. She's honored for this. And we need to remember, some of us have mothers who weren't Christians. They're still worthy of honor for passing on the wisdom that they did have. We need to let them know that. We need to let them know that too. So honor our moms. What does that mean then? As we come to conclude. The word honor in Hebrew has to do with treating someone not lightly, right? Like this. Right? Stick out your tongue at somebody. But with weight. Not lightly, but weighty. This person is honorable. And so I treat them as such. Right? Imagine if you get in the presence of LeBron James, if you're a young man. Or maybe young ladies, you have somebody in mind and you think, this person's weighty in my mind. How would you act? Your mother is far more weighty in honor than LeBron James. Forget about it. There's no comparison. We should treat our moms that way. With weighty honor. And we do it with words and we do it with deeds. And our words should be specific and they should be regular. Not just like, it's good to say, Mom, I love you. But tell her why. Mom, I appreciate you. Why? Mom, I want to thank you. Give us a specific reason. And do it regularly, not just today. Not just today, every day. I know some of us live far away from our moms now, but be regular with it. And of course, deeds. For you who are younger, honor your mom by doing your chores. Honor your mom by doing what she asks without complaining. You're like, Pastor Tim, why are you wasting my time? I know you know this, but why don't we do it, right? So I got to tell you, pastor's got to tell you, do what you're doing without complaining and imitate your mother's way of life insofar as she imitates Christ. And care for them. Now I'm speaking to us as we are older or one day will be older. Care for them in their needs and their old age. Just as they nurtured you, you are to nurture them in their needs, in their old age. Euthanasia is not a Christian option. Your mothers were not to abort you. We are not to kill our mothers. Now, I will say this. Moms and dads, we need to have wills. And lay out in our wills what we want if it comes to that point where we're basically on a feeding tube and can't live without the machines. Maybe you want to put in your will that it's okay for your children to make that extremely difficult decision, but to pull the plug. But if you have it in your will, it's actually a help to your children in that time. Otherwise, you know, euthanasia is no, is not the right choice. Euthanasia is never the right choice. In that case, we are doing the will of our parents if they've asked to have the plug pulled and therefore natural death will occur. But we care for our parents and care for our mothers in their needs, in their old age. I once knew a woman in this congregation. I won't name her by name because I tried to contact her yesterday and wasn't able to make contact. But I will note that she was an expression of honoring her mother. Of honoring her mother in her old age. Of honoring her mother with dementia. She brought her mom into her home with dementia. And I can tell you, there was delight in that. There was joy in that. Her grandchildren got to be with her more. They got to know her better. Everyone got to spend more time with her. People in our church got to know her a little bit. But I also know some of the stories. It was quite difficult to have mom with dementia in the house. Sure, they're able to laugh a little bit about some of the things that happened. But at the time, it was really difficult. But they honored her mom. All the way to the end, through the difficulties, until she died. This is a Christ-like love. This is a love for one's mother that is a keeping of Jesus' commands. It is a love for one's mother that by Jesus' promise leads to a deeper knowledge of Christ. May we all love our mothers in the same way. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have sent your Son to make us your people and give us your ways so that in keeping them we might know you better and love one another well, even our mothers. Enable us by your Spirit to do that well. In Jesus' name, amen.